Morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Dira Yamim Aleph Perek Gimel, the third chapter in the first book of Dira Yamim. And the focus today is Malchus Beis David, the kings of the house of David. We're going to look starting from David HaMelech himself all the way through to the very end of the line that we can trace. So the first nine psukim are now continuing from where we left off in Perek Beis, where we talked about Ram, who was one of the children that leads to David HaMelech, and one of the children of Chetzron, the son of Peretz. Now we have the continuation of that. So we hear about the children of David. We hear about the children he had in Chevron, those in the first seven years of his kingdom, where he has his first child is Amnon, the son of Ahinoam, from Israel. Then he has Daniel from Avigail, the Carmelite. Then he has the third one, Avshalom, the son of Macha. Macha is a princess of the kingdom of Geshur. It was a political marriage. And Adoniah from Chagis. We hear about the fifth one, Shephatiah from Avital, and Yisroam from Egla. So we have here these six children from six wives in this period in time. And then we go on to Yerushalayim, and we hear about more children. After there was 7 years in Hebron and 6 months, we hear about 33 years in Yerushalayim, a sum total of 40 years of reign. And he has then children, we hear about four children he has from Bas Shua, Bas Amiel in Yerushalayim, and they are Shima, Shoivav, Nosan, and Shlomo, four children. and we hear about some of the rest of the children as well, who are around in this generation. And we hear also about the Bnei Apilag Shim. He had other concubines who had a semi-wife status and their children, and Tamar, who is also part of the equation. She's obviously features in the Tamar and Avshalom episode, which triggers the whole Avshalom episode as well. A few basic questions in this section, and that is, we don't hear about a son Daniel in Tanakh. Meaning to say, if you go back to Shmuel Beis, where it talks about the children of David in Chevron, Perek Gimel, you'll hear about a second child from Avigail, the second of the children of David from Avigail, whose name is Kilav. You don't hear about Daniel. So the Malbim, all the Mepharshim point out that he is the same person. His real name is Daniel, but he was called Kilav for a very simple reason. Avigail was the wife of Naval HaKarmelis. Naval acted in a despicable way to David. That's why his name is reflective of that. And he died. And Avigail tried to save him, but he ultimately died. Thereafter, it's Shiva, David HaMelech immediately married Avigail, and they had a child, and this child was Daniel. But what people would say is, they would say, ah, really, that child is from Naval. So the way it worked was that we've seen this in Tanakh and other places with Yitzhak and Avraham Avinu, that this boy, Daniel, looked very much distinctly like his father, and people started calling him Kilav, like Kuloy Av. He's all his father. He really has the features of his father. The Malbim argues that maybe this is the reason why, when it came to the pecking order, it was true that Amnon should have been the king. Amnon was killed by Avshalom. Avshalom then took the kingdom, and then Adoniah had an opportunity to take it as well. But nobody ever is misyaches, turns to Daniel, Kilav. Why not? So the Malbim says perhaps it's because there were these rumors that were circulating about him. The Malbim does quote Chazal, who said that he was a spiritual person and didn't have the stomach for politics, and that's why he was out as well. What's interesting is that we're told that Shlomo Melech's mother in this section is also called Bas Shua, Bas Amiel. Well, that's not true. Her name was Bat Sheva, Bas Eliam. So the Malbim, the Radak, many of the Forshim point out that it's the same name. It's just perhaps this could have been the nickname that she was called by. It's really the Bat Shua and Bat Sheva is very similar, and Eliam and Amiel is essentially the same as well, just a mix around the same letters. So it could have been another way that she was called as well. It is also interesting to note the order of children here. We hear that Shlomo Melech is placed last. So Radak says this is out of order. Shlomo Melech was the first after the infant who died. Whereas the Ralbag says, no, Shlomo was really number five. And the episodes of Shlomo, although we think it happens right afterwards, actually happens later on as well. We move to the next section in our Perek, which is Psukim Yud to Yud Zion, the 10 to 17. And in this section, we talk about the kings of the house of David. We hear a long list of a 19 list of kings from the house of David, starting with Shlomo all the way down to Joachim and Yechoniah. What is interesting to note in this list, where it goes through Shlomo, Rechavam, Aviah, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yoram, Achaziah, Yoash, Amatziah, Azariah, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyahu, Menashe, Amon, Yoshiyahu, Yoshio, and then it gets complicated because Yoshio then has Yoyakim, Tzikiyo, and Yechonia. It's more complicated in the sense that really Yoshio was the penultimate king, but when he was killed by Pharaoh Nechoi, his different of his various different children took the throne. First was Yoyachaz, then he was removed after 3 months, then Yoyakim, then Yechonia, the son of Yoyakim, and then the last brother of them, which was the son of Yoshio, which is Tzidkio. So essentially three of the children of Yoshio reigned at various points. First Yoyachaz for 3 months, then Yoyakim for just over a decade, and then Tzidkio for the last 12 years. So what's interesting is, in this section, is that you will see that there's Yoyakim has a son called Yechonia and another one called Tzidkio. Meforishim say, that's a red herring, don't get confused, that's not Tzidkio HaMelech, that was Yoyakim's brother. Tzidkio, this Tzidkio over here is also the son, he named him after, in the same name of his uncle. We do see that Yehoyachaz is actually omitted in this section. We don't have the 3 months of Yehoyachaz. And the Bar now points out that that's because that might be his Shalom, who's really the fourth and the youngest of the children of Yoshio HaMelech. And the reason why he's omitted over here is because the Egyptians placed him on the throne in the first place because he was the youngest, as a disgrace, as an insult to the house of Israel. Remember, Yoshio had stood up to Pharaoh Nechoi. He shouldn't have. And he was killed by the Egyptian forces. They wanted to have a puppet, a yes man, on the throne. So they took the youngest, the least powerful of the four sons of Yoshio, which is why the Tanakh is omitting those 3 months and really goes on to focus on Yoyakim, who is the next one, or Eliakim, as he's called as well. Okay, we move now to the last section of the Perek, and this is from Sukkim Yudches to Chavdalad, 18 to 24. And in this section, we now hear from Yechonia onwards, a good seven generations of his children. He has Asir and Shaltiel as his two sons, and then we have Malki Rampadoya, Shenatzar, and Yekamia, Hoshio, and Nadavia. And Pedaya has Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is an important name for us because Zerubbabel became the leader, the political leader who was sent by the Persians to administer the first wave, and the second wave, perhaps, of the Aliyah to the land of Israel. So just to appreciate this, Yechonia was that son of Yoyakim who ruled for 3 months and then was exiled to Babylon. There was various stages of the exile. So what happens is that Yechonia, after his father is killed, Yoyakim is killed, Yechonia has the rule for 3 months, then he is taken to Babylon. And ironically, even though he's not the last king of Israel, Tzidkiyahu is, but Yechonia actually becomes the link in the chain for the future. What happens is he's taken to prison, and we hear that he has children. In fact, what's fascinating about this is that if you read Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek Chav Beis, per Pasuk Lamed, we're told that Yirmiyahu curses Yechonia when he goes to exile. He says, Komar Hashem, Kisvu Es HaIsh HaZeh, write about this man, Ariri Gever Lo Yitzlach B'yomav. He is a sterile person who will never succeed in his days. Ki Lo Yitzlach Mizaroi Ish Yoshev Al Kisei David Moshe B'Oy B'Yudah. No one will be successful from his line. And it turns out, not that Yirmiyahu was wrong, but that Yechonia was able to do teshuva. Through the process of teshuva and through the suffering in jail, he was able to avert that decree. And in fact, he did have children. So he called the first one Asir, from the word Asurim, which means he was reflecting on the experience of being in jail. And Shaltiel was then going to be the grandfather of Zerubbabel, who's going to be the leader. So he was able to avert this divine decree, which is pretty incredible to think about it. It's interesting that if you count all these generations over here from Yechonia onwards, some of the academics point out that, well, you see, it couldn't have possibly been that Ezra wrote the entire book of Direi Yamim, because it goes so far beyond the times of Ezra that it must have been somebody else was adding this in. So therefore they question the authenticity of the authorship of Ezra. The Malbim addresses this explicitly over here in the last pasuk, and he says, well, that is a little bit arrogant, because it is possible if Yechonia gave birth in Bavel at a younger age, and each of the children gave birth in the mid to late teens, which was certainly not unheard of in those times. We could certainly fit in more than these seven generations into the amount of time by the end of the rule of Nehemiah. So that's 32 years into the rule of Artashasta. Another possibility is, as Rosh Rav talked about this when we were learning the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, it is possible that there was a larger gap between the wave of Zerubbabel and the wave of Ezra and Nehemiah. Could have been there were number of missing years as well. Bir Zemei, Rav Schwab ends off on a tenuous note on that particular theory, but there certainly is grounds for Ezra being able to include this telescoping. It's important to notice here that Ezra is going beyond just the leader Zerubbabel himself to future generations, which is going to be helpful for those who are going to attribute their lineage to, in fact, David HaMelech. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.